I find it quite interesting then that as Peter wrote to the Christians who were under much pressure from those around them, specifically from false teachers and their heresies, that he considered his audience and then he wrote encouraging them as Christians to live right. And he urged them to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18. And from time to time as I look at my spiritual life and I question, have I over a period of time grown? Have I truly grown in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ? Sometimes I wonder if I really have. And I like to turn to Peter because in his second epistle, he writes concerning four components of spiritual growth. And these four components of spiritual growth really help me to evaluate whether I am growing in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ and help me to recognize whether or not I really am growing spiritually. So I want to share them with you this evening. The bondservant of Christ advocated that for spiritual growth to take place, the first component of it is godly living. Godly living. Look with me at 2 Peter chapter 1. He opens with verses 2 through 4. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue, by which we have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Through Christ, we have been given everything that we need to live godly. Grace and peace fill the lives of those who truly know God. A knowledge that's more than just knowing of God. It's a special kind of knowledge that continues to grow as we mature in the faith. The more we learn of God, the more we know about God and about Christ. And the more we know about them, the more we are able to become like them. And in belonging to Christ, we have become partakers of the divine nature. Christ has been in us, as He promised in John 14, verse 23. If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. It is because of Christ's presence in our lives that we are enabled to increasingly become like Him, to become Christ-like. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18. Peter, in his second epistle, promotes that having been given everything that we need to live godly and having become partakers of the divine nature, these two ought to be motivation enough to become more like Christ. Listen to verses 5 through 9 of 2 Peter chapter 1. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, to brotherly kindness love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. The fact that we have been cleansed from our sins and become partakers of the divine nature. Because Christ has given us all things which we need to be able to live a godly life, ought to be motivation enough for us to say, we have no excuse not to become more like Him. Peter reminds us of this fact. We became partakers of the divine nature when we were freed from the power of the old corrupt nature, our way of sin. We have already escaped the corruption that is in the world, the moral ruin that exists through the perverted desire of the world. It thus follows that godly living should show the world that we have escaped, that we have been freed from the power of sin and darkness, Romans 12, verse 1. And that godly living is seen by godly behavior and godly thinking, the renewing of the mind, Romans 12 and verse 2. And thus Peter concluded, 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 10, therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. When we truly seek to live a godly life, we will know and we will understand that God has given us everything which we need to pursue that godly life. So does our lives, our behavior, our thinking show that we follow Christ? Does our lives, does our behavior, does our thinking show that we are growing in Christ? Spiritual growth is always a work in progress. Look at verses 12 through 15 of 2 Peter chapter 1. For this reason, I will not be negligent to remind you always of these things, though you know and are established in the present truth. Remember, Peter's writing to Christians. He knows they understand these things. He knows what he has previously taught them. He knows they have accepted them. They are doing their best to live by them. But he says, as a constant reminder that is needed, I'm going to continue to remind you. Verse 13, yes, I think that it is right, as long as I am in this tent, to stir you up by reminding you, knowing that shortly I must put off my tent, just as our Lord Jesus Christ showed me. Moreover, I will be careful to ensure that you always have a reminder of these things after my decease. I want to remind you in this Christian life about living the Christian life, living a godly life. And it may take every day of our lives reminding ourselves, today I am Christian, and because I am a Christian, I'm going to live the life of a Christian. And because I'm living the life of a Christian, I'm going to do the very best I can to live in accordance with God's will. It may take reminding ourselves of that daily. And Peter says, I'm not going to withhold reminding you, because it is that important. Because I remind you, I want you to know that I will continue to remind you. Thank you, Peter, for being willing to do that. With Peter's own death approaching, he reminded these Christians that godly living is facilitated by being reminded of the truths that they already had learned, being reminded of the truths that they already were living and following after. A second component of spiritual growth is a reliance on the Scriptures. The revealed truth is God's Word. Christian doctrine is not just another point of view. It's not a fable. The teachings of the Christian doctrine and the following of Christian doctrine is what produces godly living. Look at 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 16 through 18. For we did not follow cunningly devised fables when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of His majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when such a voice came to him from the excellent glory, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And we heard this voice, which came from heaven when we were with him on the holy mountain. The Scriptures can be trusted for godly living because they were written by writers who were inspired by the Holy Spirit. They are God's words breathed out to them, and they wrote them down. Peter knew that the only way that we can combat false teachers would be to compare their teaching with the teaching of the prophets and the apostles, the teachings of Christ. Note 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. It says, "Beloved, I now write to you this second epistle, in both of which I stir up your pure minds by way of reminder." There again, Peter says, "I'm just writing to remind you of these things. That you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior." Peter wanted the believers to remember what they had been taught, take what they remembered and compare it to the false teachers of their day and the heresies which they were teaching. And by comparing them, they would see quite easily what was true and what was false teaching. Many today claim that they debate about religious matters, but that these debates and these discussions just simply end in arguments. Well, the Scriptures bear it out. Those discussions are not debate. They are exactly what they end as. They're arguments. They're fights. Look with me quickly at 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, beginning in verse number 4. True debate is illustrated here. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, beginning in verse 4. "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled." We are equipped to answer and overcome the false ideas that man produces to sway one and bring one away from and oppose God. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15. We are admonished by Peter to get into the Word and prepare ourselves for the erroneous things that men will say to lead us away from God. And as we realize that the warfare we are a part of is spiritual, it is God's Word that is mighty for pulling down strongholds, for casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against Him. True debate is about tearing down arguments and letting the truth rise to the top. It's not about arguing. It's not about fighting. It's not about ending in, "Well, we'll just have to agree to disagree." It's about showing the truth of God's Word and allowing it to stand, whether you or I or anyone else accepts it or not. The Scriptures function as that light in darkness. It's the light of all the discussions. They are an absolute in a relativistic world. Peter put it this way, 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 19 through 21. "And so we have the prophet's word confirmed, which you do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star arises in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. For prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Every teaching which we hear must be put under a microscope and examined alongside of God's Word. Godly living demands a reliance upon the Scripture, and knowledge of the Scriptures, so that we may grow spiritually. A third component of spiritual growth is opposition to false teaching. The Scriptures are the basis for any and all opposition to false teaching, as we mentioned from 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 4 through 6. We are not to be tossed about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, Ephesians 4 and verse 14. The vast numbers that are persuaded by unbiblical ideas should not sway us from a strong stance for the truth. And so Peter wrote, 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, "But there were also false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who bought them, and bring on themselves swift destruction. And many will follow their destructive ways, because of whom the way of truth will be blasphemed." The apostles, or rather the prophets of God, battled against false prophets, just as believers battle against false teachers today. Obedience to the truth of Christ is held in contempt by many because of the immoral behavior of professing Christians. Listen to Peter in verse 2 again of 2 Peter chapter 2. "And many will follow their destructive ways." Those who are professing to be Christians but are not living the Christian life are leading some down a path to destruction. "Because of whom the way of truth is blasphemed." They're hypocrites. Verse 3, "By covetousness they will exploit you with deceptive words. For a long time their judgment has not been idle, and their destruction does not slumber." Peter is warning the Christians under intense pressure from the world around them that judgment will be given to all, including those who oppose the truth of God. Chapter 2, verses 4 through 17, he illustrates that further. "But we must stand in opposition to false teachers and their false teachings, or we will be led away by them." And so Peter warns us that we must know the Scriptures and speak up for the truth so that we are not led astray by false teachers. Look at verses 18 through 22 of 2 Peter chapter 2. "For when they speak great swelling words of emptiness, they allure through the lust of the flesh, through lewdness, the ones who have actually escaped from those who live in error." We have escaped. We ought to live like we have escaped. We ought to stand for the truth and not listen to these words of emptiness that allure us by lust and desires of the flesh and by lewdness. He continues, verse 19, "While they promise them liberty, they themselves are slaves of corruption. For by whom a person is overcome, by him also he is brought into bondage. For if after they have escaped the pollution of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and overcome, the latter end is worse for them than the beginning. For it would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than having known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered to them. But it has happened to them according to the true proverb. A dog has returned to his own vomit, and a sow having washed to her wallowing in the mire. False teachers allure. They entice, verse 14, meaning that they catch with bait those who will just hear their great swelling words of emptiness. It sounds so good. It sounds so right. It must be true. And then they've got you. We cannot be convinced by something when we have not heard about it or seen it. No one was ever converted by a false teacher that he or she did not watch or listen to. But when we watch it on the television, we listen to it on the radio, and we talk about false doctrine and false teaching of others, and we listen to it, we have to be very careful, because Peter warns us we can be led astray. The Holy Spirit provides, through His written Word, the standard by which all people are to discern and detect the deceptive teachings and the alluring promises of the ungodly. Spiritual growth takes place when we effectively stand in opposition to false teaching. So we must be on the lookout for false teachers and their destructive ways and oppose them. The final component of spiritual growth from the second epistle of Peter is watchfulness. Peter advocates that by looking for the return of Christ, we can avoid sinful traps of the world. Look at 2 Peter chapter 3. Beginning in verse 3, he says, "Knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lust, and saying, 'Where is the promise of His coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation.'" One of Satan's greatest tools against us is his ability to get us to become lax. Especially lax in our thinking. Lax in our decision-making pertaining to godly living. Pertaining to the Scriptures and to false teaching. And to watchfulness, which ought to sound familiar. We must constantly be aware of evil, combat it, and work toward the arrival of the judgment. And so Peter says, verses 8 and 9 of chapter 3, "But beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord one day is as a thousand years, and a thousand years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." It's a day only known to God that will mark the end of this world as we know it. Verse 10, "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are therein will be burned up." We know it's coming. We ought to prepare ourselves. Be ready for it. Watching for it, longing for its arrival. Knowing the promise of the coming judgment, Christians who have prepared themselves should be the very ones on the front of the spiritual battle line, encouraging others to believe in Christ and preparing for His coming. Verse 14, 2 Peter chapter 3, "Therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found by Him in peace, without spot and blameless. And consider that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, as also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, has written to you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of things in which are some things hard to understand, which untaught and unstable people twist to their own destruction, as they do also the rest of the Scriptures. We must first prepare ourselves for the coming judgment, being diligent to be found by Him in peace, without spot and blameless, having been washed. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 11. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 22. It is Revelation chapter 1 and verse 5 that says, Jesus Christ is the one who loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood. Peter says, verse 17, you therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, know what beforehand? You know the truth. You know the Word of God. Since you know this beforehand, that there is a day of judgment coming, beware lest you also fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Amen. Since we know God's Word, we can study it, we can use it properly, then we must be watchful that we do not fall away or follow the teachings and the error of the wicked. As discussed in our previous main point, if we fail to oppose false teaching, we can and may well be led away from the truth. Thus, Peter promotes the spiritual growth that will keep one steadfast and avoid being led away. He tells us, verse 17 and 18, as we have just read, to beware. And in being aware, we ought to grow. Because as we are growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we're growing deeper and deeper roots in faith, in love, in truth. Roots that will bury themselves so deeply that we can be unshakable, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Spiritual growth shows our watchfulness, which Peter allocated as a component of spiritual growth. As Aaron Tippin sang it, you've got to stand for something or you'll fall for anything. You've got to be your own man, not a puppet on a string. Never compromise what's right and uphold your family name. You've got to stand for something or you'll fall for anything. God said it through Peter in His second epistle. To live right and to grow spiritually, you've got to stand for the truth or you'll fall for anything. You've got to be a Christian, not a puppet on the string of Satan or evil. Never compromise what is right and uphold your family name, the name of Christ. You've got to stand for something or you'll fall for anything. We cannot allow ourselves to be wrongly influenced by the world or false teaching. We must live godly lives, fully relying on the Scriptures as we oppose false teaching and look forward to the return of Christ in judgment. The good news for all is that we can so prepare ourselves that Jesus' return will not be one of fearful condemnation, but of joyful salvation. What a day! glorious day that will be. For Jesus will bring salvation to those who believe Him. Acts chapter 16, verses 30 and 31. For those who have turned from sin in repentance. Acts chapter 17, verses 30 and 31. For those who have confessed Jesus before men. Romans 10, verses 9 and 10. For those who have been baptized, immersed in His name for the forgiveness of sins. Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. And have continually waited faithfully for His return. 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 9 through 18. Are you a Christian? Have your sins been washed away by His blood? If not, why not do it tonight? If you are a Christian, Peter writes to you, he writes to me, to encourage us in living the Christian life. And in encouraging us to live the Christian life, the question comes to us, are we growing spiritually? Are we growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? If you are subject to the Lord's invitation this evening, we invite you to come.